How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Disclaimer before we start the show. For whatever reason, the audio jumped in and out on this podcast. I went back through. I tried to edit it. I simply don't have enough time. So I'm sorry if it hops from one point to the next. Please try to bear with us. We are mostly talking about Paul George, Jimmy Butler, or Isaiah Thomas emojis. So you probably won't miss too much, but just wanted to let you know why that happened before you listen to this podcast. Enjoy.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King, locked on trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today it's your boy Jay King from MassLive.com here with Sam Jam Packard the Great. We are recording this at Wednesday night, 7:15. We are hoping that a trade does not happen. Or I don't know what we're hoping for, but if a trade does happen, we'll have to record another podcast later. Right now, we are guessing that the Boston Celtics will not make a big move Wednesday night. We'll probably not make a small move Wednesday night because the possibilities, if they are possibilities, are more than likely to go down to the trade deadline itself, which is 3 p.m. Thursday afternoon. That's Eastern time. We've got Paul George rumors flying around. We got Jimmy Butler rumors everywhere. We've got Andrew Bogut being held out of Dallas Mavericks practice. He is certainly a sensible option, assuming the Celtics don't make bigger trades. So there's a lot to talk about, a lot to discuss, a lot to wrap our heads around. Let's start with the Paul George stuff, Sam. I think you want to start off by poking a little fun at Celtics fans and maybe some of the Celtics reporters too.
Yeah, it's the same routine. We go through every single deadline and they're going to go what happened at last year's draft. It's just ever since Wick Grosbeck said that fireworks comment, it feels like anytime Celtics fans even sniff the idea of a trade, it doesn't even matter what the trade is, really. Just the idea of a trade, they just get so whipped into a frenzy, and they're just expecting a trade because Danny Ainge has a bunch of assets, and they're just thinking, a trade's going to happen now. We need a trade. We need a trade to happen. And it's just there's been zero indication, especially at this deadline, that the Celtics are really pushing for a trade. They're the fifth best team in the NBA, the second best team in the Eastern Conference. It's just like the team does not need to change drastically, but Celtics fans are just like, oh, we need to do something. And there's just been zero indication that like any substantive deal is going to come into the forefront. And I know people are going to say, if they're talking about it, that's Danny Ainge is not going to let it happen because Danny Ainge always operates in secret. So if it is a trade, it's going to come out of nowhere. Well, yeah, I guess so. But I mean, Celtics fans are so trade thirsty and so star thirsty that it's gotten a bit absurd. I just had a couple of people just yelling at me in my mentions today, still upset about DeMarcus Cousins. I said what I would potentially give for if I was the Garpacks in Chicago, and people are screaming at me today about that, about how the Celtics will never get some good value out of it. It's just, I don't know. The whole thing's ridiculous to me. And I just want to applaud Isaiah Thomas for brilliantly trolling all of us. First the eyes, then the hourglass. He knows exactly what he's doing, and it's just magnificent trolling. It's just fantastic stuff from Isaiah.
Yeah, yeah. So in case anyone hasn't seen Isaiah Thomas's emojis, he tweeted the eye emojis, what was that, Monday night? And everyone was just on high alert from that point on. It didn't matter.
Hold on, Jay King. I think I'm going to have to blame you for stoking the flames of that.
Yep. I pointed out that previously when Isaiah Thomas had used the eye emojis, Al Horford signed a few hours later. I pointed that out. I'm going to sound right now like I'm boasting, but I promise I'm not. Not at all. Shouted out my name on SportsCenter for that tweet. And like, it was the dumbest tweet I've probably ever written. And it's like I've always dreamed of being on SportsCenter. And when I finally got there, when they finally shouted me out, it was for literally the dumbest tweet that I've ever put out there. So shout out to ESPN for finding me at my lowest moment.
Which SportsCenter was it? Was the new cool one at 6 p.m.?
I don't know. Someone texted it to me. I wasn't watching. Someone texted
me.
Texted me the video.
I don't buy your timeline right now because I don't think that Woj tweeted about Al Horford maybe signing with the Wizards, and then 5 seconds later it was tweeted about the Al Horford new hours before Woj did. So
Isaiah,
I don't think there's any
Isaiah
connection.
Isaiah has said since that he had he pretty much knew after the meeting they had wrapped it up. And maybe he was wrong about that. Maybe he was misleading about that. Maybe he was just being overly confident since they did get Al Horford later. But he has said that when they finished the meeting with Al Horford, he was pretty sure that Horford was going to go to the Celtics. Anyway, let's get on to current stuff, which is Paul George. I thought it was really interesting. Obviously, you know, any Paul George trade is unlikely. Any Jimmy Butler trade is unlikely because the Chicago Bulls and Indiana Pacers both have stars. And stars under contract beyond this season. So it's tough to trade stars. Because of how big these deals would be, anything is unlikely. But obviously the Celtics are sitting there with a ton of assets. And I do think it's interesting that Paul George sat down, reportedly, I believe Sam Amick from USA Today reported this, that Paul George sat down with the owner of the Pacers and said, I want to stay with you guys, but we have to win. And that's interesting because we've always looked at it like, yeah, the Pacers have this pressure on them because they might believe that, you know, Paul George could walk at the end of his contract next season. But now he has told them, if you guys can't build a winner, and the path to building a winner, a real championship contender, is not obvious. Now they have a lot of pressure because Paul George has said he wants to go or he's willing to go if they can't put a team around him.
In another frenzy, but it doesn't make sense to trade stars at the deadline. I know Boogie Cousins just went, but that's because the Kings were in a specific scenario where they had to basically trick their owner into actually agreeing to a trade by waving around Buddy Hield. It's just not something that is regularly happens in the NBA or really makes sense for NBA teams to trade major stars at the deadline, especially when they're trying to get back draft picks. I know we've harped on this all along, but teams, if you're trading for that Nets pick, you're going to want to know what position that is in, and you're going to want to wait till after the lottery. So I'm not saying that Paul George or Jimmy Butler can't be traded, but it just feels like if those kind of deals are going to happen, they're going to happen in the summer, not because there's an arbitrary day in February where the league says you can't do this anymore.
What are we going to make you do if the Celtics do come up with a big trade? Like, you are so outspoken against the chances of a trade that we need to set some stakes right here, that if they do make a trade, you have to walk around with your shirt off in the streets of Philadelphia and dunk your head in the snow or something. Like there is something you should have to do.
Sixers, I will go covered in green body paint if the Celtics make a trade for either Jimmy Butler or Paul George.
So now you Celtics fans have another reason to root for a trade, and that's so that Sam Packard will make a fool of himself at the Celtics game. As you said, Sam, I do think that a trade is more likely later on, and especially with the case of Paul George and the Pacers, because they do have hope of signing him, and because he could qualify for the designated player exception, which would allow them to sign him to a mega contract. And that's still possible. It looks improbable right now that he'll make All-NBA team this year. But if he does it next year, and they would be risking a lot if they waited for him to try that next year, but they could still have the fallback plan of trying to just sign him with bird rights if he doesn't. And they could try in the meantime to boost the team around him and give themselves the best chance of keeping George. But it's very obvious, I think, right now that the Bulls with Butler, after they talked to the Celtics and maybe some other teams on draft night, definitely Minnesota, that they're considering moving on from Butler. And now, because of what George has said to the Pacers and because of his situation, it's clear that at some point they'll have to decide whether to move him. Like, these are real possibilities at some point, and maybe it doesn't happen before Thursday's deadline. Probably it doesn't happen before Thursday's deadline. But I've been thinking about this. Like, why not go after both?
Yeah, no, this is something that you've been – I think I texted you in our group chat probably a month ago about some trade, and you brought up the idea of both Butler and George. And I thought it was a typo at first, but you've been kind of on this bandwagon of possibly going after both. And you put in the article today a fake trade that would end up with both of them. I was intrigued by it. It seemed like something that both teams would be – you basically have to empty the war chest, but if you're entering the war chest, those are the two – and adding those two guys, that would make sense. It was an intriguing idea. I think it's kind of too crazy because it would involve both teams agreeing to give up their stars, and then how do you decide which one gets the 2017 Nets pick and which one gets, I guess, the players? I feel like there'd be it would involve a lot of buy-in from both organizations, both the Pacers and the Bulls. But I like where your head's at. You're thinking big ideas.
It's a total dream scenario, totally crazy. But still, the two trades that I offered, those would have been huge hauls for the Celtics. Let's say they traded Tyler Zeller and his contract, Jay Crowder, Marcus Smart, and the 2017 Brooklyn Nets pick. And that seems like a pretty fair trade or somewhat near fair for that value. And then go to the Indiana Pacers, say, here's Amir Johnson, Jaylen Brown, who has star potential, Terry Rozier, who somewhat intriguing, and then load on the 18 Brooklyn pick, maybe Ante Zizic, some combination of Ante Zizic, multiple first-round picks, Gershon Yabusele, however you say his name, I still can't get that.
You nailed it that time. You got it.
I'm not convinced I did, but that both teams would part with those players and that it could happen by 3 p.m. Thursday afternoon. Like, it is the pipe dream of all pipe dreams. But if I'm the Celtics, I'm probably aiming to make those trades. Now, you would deplete yourself of a lot of depth. You would deplete yourself of a ton of draft picks, all your draft capital that you've built up for a long time. But if you are going to do that, to then come away with a five of Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, Jimmy Butler, Paul George, and Al Horford. You could figure out the rest later. You could, I don't know, go a couple seconds for Andrew Bogut or somebody. Like there are ways to replenish your depth and get away with that. So if I'm the Celtics, that's what I'm trying to do right now. And I would be super hesitant about it, because what if that's not enough to get you past Cleveland? And not super hesitant, because I think if you can empty out the war chest and you can get Paul George and Jimmy Butler, you have to do it. But at the same time, like, you are losing everything. You better convince Paul George to stay after next season. You better become a contender. The very, very tiny, remote, whatever possibility is, like 0.0000 with those guys. Am I crazy here? Am I totally crazy?
Crazy like a fox. Like, I think you're thinking big, and I think it's very, very slim chances of something like that ever happening. But you're right. That's the kind of crazy move that I think Danny Ainge would be looking for. But the one drawback is I don't know what the salary cap ramifications would be. But if you don't win the title in the first two seasons, you're gonna have a tough time re-signing everyone. You basically would have four players on max contracts, and I just don't know. People have been able to make three work, but I just don't know how four would be able to work. You'd have to have IT and Paul George and Jimmy Butler all within like 2 years of each other agree to take less, which is maybe they would just fall in love player like rotation ever, but. I don't know. I like it, Jay King. It's a wacky idea, and I'm all about it.
Yeah, I'm all on board the wacky idea. I'm all on board the remotest possibility. People were coming at my neck on Twitter, like you are absolutely nuts. And I'm not saying it's a reasonable possibility. Like, it is an absolute pipe dream. Like, you'd have to convince the Bulls to part ways with Butler. You'd have to convince the Pacers to part ways with George. You'd have to hope that your offer is the one they accept. But if you unload the chest, if the Celtics unload the chest, like, it's not a 100% impossibility, I don't think, at some point. But maybe I'm just crazy, man. That's with my own trades that could be reasonable. And now here I am coming up with two separate trades that would net the Celtics Jimmy Butler and Paul George. So I'm really stretching myself thin here.
Well, let's just like try to get back in with reality here and talk about something a lot more realistic and a lot more likely to happen, which is a possible Andrew Bogut deal. He was held out of practice today, him and Deron Williams, because they're probably on the trading market.
It's Deron, bro.
Oh, sorry. No, I jump on your ass all the time for mispronouncing things, so thank you for correcting me. Deron Williams.
One time I know how to pronounce a name, you get it wrong. I like that.
So, but that's not even the focus. Andrew Bogut, what do you think the Celtics would need to give up to get him? The focus of it seems like everyone in the kind of the minor trades that have been made this year, Lou Williams and who did the Wizards just trade for? I'm just completely blanking.
Bogdanovich.
Bojan, they got both teams, both the Lakers and the Nets got first round picks in this year's draft back. That seems to be a focus of teams. Do you think, and the Celtics don't have a first round pick to give up other than the Nets pick, and they're not trading that for Andrew Bogut. So what do you think the price is for getting a rental of Andrew Bogut? Is a first round pick in the future, a couple of second round picks this year? What would be the most that the Celtics should give up for kind of his hobbled old Australian body?
You could try the Minnesota pick somewhere close to the first round. You could add the Celtics have three second round picks this year, so you could add one of the lower ones too if that doesn't work. I don't think they give up a first round pick for 2 months of Andrew Bogut when the probability of re-signing him because of the flexibility that they want to have moving into the future is very low. Like, if you get Andrew Bogut now, chances are he will be on the Celtics for 2 months and then a playoff run, and then they will move on this summer to whoever they get, whether it's Gordon Hayward, whether they make another run at Georgia Butler, whether they keep Kelly Olynyk to a sizable contract. 2 months of Bogut, I doubt a first round pick. Now, he is the type of guy that would absolutely lift this Celtics team. He is one of the best rebounders in the NBA. He is an elite defender. He can handle the ball and pass the ball, which is nice. He sets great screens. So he would be an upgrade in the rotation. He's the type of guy you'd go after. I don't know if there might be another team that swoops in and can offer more than the Celtics can, because, as you said, their lone first-round pick is the Nets pick. And if it's going to take a first-round pick in this year's draft, they can't really match that.
Who do you think is a better fit on this Celtics team, and should the Celtics give up more for, potentially, Bogut or P.J. Tucker? Bogut's pretty much – I think he's a better fit in terms of the position he plays and the rebounding he offers, but he also has been injured pretty much this entire year and has suffered with injuries for the past couple of years. So who do you think is more valuable to this Celtics team?
I like Bogut, and I like Bogut because, A, I think he's a better player when healthy, and B, I think if you get P.J. Tucker, that convinces Brad Stevens to take some of Jaylen Brown's minutes away. And as helpful as it would be to have a veteran like P.J. Tucker, who is a great rebounder on the wing, who can guard multiple positions, who is one tough son of a gun, I would rather have if I'm promising. Maybe he would still get as many minutes. Maybe P.J. Tucker would just slide into, you know, Terry Rozier's minutes and Gerald Green's minutes, and they could have a supersized bench lineup with, you know, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, P.J. Tucker. But to me, I think I would rather have Bogut just on the off chance that cuts into Jaylen Brown's minutes, when right now he's been developing so well. And I think that he's really shown a lot of flashes, and he probably deserves minutes in the stretch run. So I would be worried about that. But then again, who knows? I'm going to argue with myself right now. Then again, having P.J. Tucker might push Brown to shooting guard all the time, and when he was starting at shooting guard, that's how to argue with 101 right there. arguing with yourself 101.
I would tend to agree with you that I think Bogut kind of solves their rim protection issues and would help with rebounding. And I think that Jaylen Brown issue is key, because I think if the Celtics are going to make a playoff run, he's going to have to come up big. But like you said, Jaylen Brown's been best this year when he's been playing on smaller guards. And I'm still worried about the Bogut injury factor. It's just, we already have Amir Johnson, who doesn't have ankles. How many hobbled guys can you really trot out there? PJ Tucker kind of seems like the tough person who will play in every game and give you his all. And is more in that kind of Marcus Smart, Jay Crowder. I just argued with myself too. I think I just talked myself out of Bogut, and I would lean towards PJ Tucker. But that's about it.
I hope the Celtics front office doesn't sound as dumb as we do when discussing trade opportunities. Like Danny Ainge and Mike Zarin are sitting there arguing with themselves. I think Bogut's great. But also he's hurt. I don't know. Let's go with Tucker. That's it. Let's go with Tucker.
That's all they've been doing for the past 4 days, is just arguing with themselves and just incoherently yelling and screaming. It's been just like Celtics Twitter. They've just been completely irrational.
We've got a tweet from Sean Hyken, Bulls reporter. Nobody's going to – didn't he just have the All-Star break?
They did, but he played pretty hard. Also a tweet from Woj saying that Chicago has continued its push for 76ers center Jahlil Okafor, and the Sixers just traded Ersan Ilyasova for Tiago Splitter in 2 second-round picks, who's another center. So it feels like Ja is definitely going to be on the move. Maybe the Celtics can sneak in some sort of three-way deal with the Sixers and the Bulls. But, you know, again, to go back to my earlier rant in this podcast, probably nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, still, even if Jimmy Butler rested, probably nothing's going to happen. But it is interesting that The Bulls rested him today. Like, Isaiah Thomas tweets out an hourglass emoji, and like 5 minutes later, some investigator on Twitter has realized, oh man, that looks like Paul George's logo turned sideways. And if Isaiah Thomas actually tweeted an hourglass because he thought it looked like Paul George's new logo, I would be stunned. Because that takes like next level thinking. And like that's a kind of a reach. Like I don't know how someone out there noticed that and put two and two together, but like you can link any type of emoji to anything if you really try your hardest to. And it cracks me up. It gets you on your to bend so much more boring. And now Twitter's here and it's like the roller coaster, like nothing's happening, and there's still this roller coaster of oh, Pacers might be shopping Paul George. Ooh, it's probably just for exploratory purposes. Oh, Paul George just told him he might leave. Like the whole thing. I just fully appreciate Twitter at trade deadline time, at draft time, at all of the important parts of the NBA schedule, because it is just electric.
Yeah, I mean, NBA Twitter is fantastic and it's endlessly entertaining. So as much as I complained earlier, I've been having a blast just like staring at my tweet deck over the past 3 days. It's just ever since the Cousins rumors started coming out Sunday night, it's been one hell of a ride. So Celtics fans, I made fun of you early, but keep being you, keep being crazy, keep being just as crazy as Jay King, hoping for both Paul George and Jimmy Butler. All the craziness is fun because we don't have any basketball games to watch right now. So this is going to have to do it for us.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with myself when there's no basketball. Literally, I've just been cooped inside, like just a victim of the trade deadline. And it's great. I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. Like, I almost became an accountant, and I could be like stressing out through tax season right now, like hating myself, hating everything around me. And instead, I get to follow Isaiah Thomas's emojis on Twitter. So great, great life choice there. Great redirection of my life. Tomorrow or today, and as you guys are listening to this, we will find out whether the Chicago Bulls, Indiana Pacers, and or Boston Celtics go through a similar redirection. How about that segue, Sam?
Oh, nailed it.
That was nice. So we will find that out today, since you guys listened to this Thursday. But we might even have to throw out an emergency podcast if something serious happens later. You guys to subscribe to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Go search for the Locked On Celtics podcast. Find it on Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever else you listen to a podcast. And now I can comfortably wrap this up. That's it for this edition of the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. That was a hell of a time becoming a part of the pro.
Yeah, Jay King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics, Millie.
Fall has arrived at JCPenney, the perfect time to refresh your home. From now until Sunday, get up to 50% off select comforter sets, furniture, and the most comfortable mattresses from top brands like Tempur-Pedic, Sealy, Beautyrest, and more. And save 50 to 60% on select sheet sets, plus an extra 15% with your coupon on select home items. Hurry, end soon. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. Coupon valid 9/28 to 10/9 on select home items, furniture, and mattresses. Prices valid 9/28 to 10/1. Selections vary by store while supplies last. Fittings on regular and original prices. Intermediate markdowns may have been taken. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.